Now, I want to continue talking, and I will till I finish. I got, two more in this series, I think, about in him. The in him, I used to talk to my dad, and my dad was really strong on this, and many of you knew him. Many of you heard him in person. He was really strong on the in him realities, being in Christ. He said that's the most important thing that a person can learn, because when they learn who they are in Christ, then everything else falls in line. And remember, I did the in factor, and today I'm going to talk about in position. Now, I don't know how many of you play on when you played on a sports team. Anybody here played on a sports team? It is important that you be in the right position. If you're out of position, then the whole thing breaks down. In fact, Vince Lombardi, the great coach Vince Lombardi, used to say, "I will give you my plays, and if everybody's in position and does their job, you can't stop us." And that's the truth. If everybody's in position and everybody's doing their job, you can't be stopped. I know in the military, and some of you have been there, when you are on a hill assault or any kind of an assault, everybody has a position, or that did when I went. I was a squad leader, and I had A squad, and I had B squad on each side of me, and each one of us, and it's all different now, but I had my BAR man, and he would lay down cover and fire where the rest of us could move. And, of course, they're stretched out here, so they have to move according to your hand signals. But if one person is not in the right position and doesn't move at the right time, it endangers all of us. And it is important that you be in the right position, because if you are not in the right position, the enemy can take advantage of you if you're not in the right position. You know, in the spiritual realm, we have to be in the right position. And then all the blessings of God will open up to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'll wait till you turn there. On your device, go to your iPad, your iPhone, your Bible. How many have your real Bible with you? All right. How many of you have an iPhone or an iPad with you, and it's got the Bible on it too? Yeah, I do, and Lynette does over here. I actually like, when I'm sitting in a crowd listening to somebody else speak, I actually like to have my iPad or my iPhone, because when I go to the Scripture, I have all different translations that I can go to and read that Scripture. Because sometimes as you read a Scripture in a different translation, it gives you a little bit better grip on the thing. So here we go. We're going to read, New King James says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Now the Amplified, I'm going to read the Amplified in that. The Amplified says, "For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of righteousness of God. What we ought to be, approved and acceptable in right relationship with him by his goodness." Now the New Living Translation says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, that so that we could be made right with God through Christ." And if you remember, 2 weeks ago when I was talking, I said that Christ did not sin, he was made sin. Or a better way to understand that is that he took sin upon himself for us, would be another way to say it. He did not sin. He became sin so that we could be set free. Now, this gives us the spiritual truth as we begin to look at this about our righteousness with God. Now, many people don't walk, and they're Christians, they don't walk in the full privilege of being in Christ because they don't understand their position. Righteousness gives you position. One individual, one minister has said, unless we know who we are and what we can do by the power of Jesus Christ, Satan will have continuous victory in our lives. Actually, that was John Osteen in his book, Spiritual Identity. See, we have to understand what Christ did on the cross so that we can have the kind of life that belongs to us. When you don't understand what you have, you can't take advantage of it. Hello? You see, I can have a set of keys in my pocket. And that key opens those doors out there. And that key right there opens every door on that 110-acre campus and all 17 buildings at the main campus over there. And that one happens to be my key to my car. Now, I can have those, and I can have them in my pocket. But unless I understand what they're for, they do me no good. How many understand what I'm saying to you? See, you can know about being in Christ and you can actually become born again, but don't understand what you have. So therefore, none of the promises in the Word of God can become a part of you because you don't understand what you have. You know, I've read this story two or three different times. I forget, it was one of the English people, ministers, long time ago, and it might have been Wesley, I don't know. But anyway, he went to visit a lady that was living in abject poverty. And he saw a deal hanging on the wall. It had been framed and it was hanging on the wall, and he began to read it and he said, "Can I take that?" "Oh," she said, "that's very precious to me. You see, I was a servant for," and she some royalty guy, "for many years, and before he died he called me in and he gave me this piece of paper and he said, I want you to have this." Well, it was precious to her. She hung it on the wall. Now, this person took it to the proper authorities. And she was a rich person. She owned that whole estate with everything. But she didn't know it. She didn't know what she had. She just had it was a gift from her employer. And she didn't know what it was. Therefore, she lived in poverty when she was actually a millionaire. Because she didn't know what she had. And many Christians are living in the same way because they do not understand who they are in Christ and what they have in Christ and what they can accomplish because of who they are in Christ. See, we have to understand what Jesus did for us on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible, and I think this goes back to one of the early editions, not one of the new editions. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For God took sinless Christ and poured into him our sins, then in exchange he poured God's goodness into us." This goes right back to what I was talking about earlier. This verse indicates that he became sin for us. Now, sometimes in theological circles and when preachers are talking and so forth, they call this the great exchange. There is an exchange. We exchange our unrighteousness for his righteousness because of what he did on Calvary. Christ became our substitute, bearing our punishment that should have been ours. You know, some people sometimes get caught up in what they think they deserve or entitled to. And often this is based on who they are and the family they belong to and what they've done. But I want you to notice that it's not who we are, it's who he is. You know, see, actually a lot of people, you didn't deserve the kind of life that you have in Jesus. That's not what you deserved. What Jesus did for us, we deserve punishment. He took it for us so that we could stand guiltless before God. He took the punishment that we deserve. Now, the great English preacher, Smith Wigglesworth, said, "There is a place in Christ where we are no longer under condemnation, but where the heavens are always open for us." Now, Jesus not only took our sinful condition on the cross, when we accept him as our Savior, he gave us something. Yeah, that's where the exchange comes in, okay? When he took our sinful condition and gave us righteousness, now that righteousness carried something else with it that we need to understand. That's what I'm talking about. See, we become the righteousness of God in Christ, right? Last time, old things passed away, all things are become new. We become the righteousness of God in Christ. But when we become the righteousness of God in Christ, we also receive his righteous spiritual condition. We also receive right fellowship, a relationship with the Father. Until we accepted Christ, we had no relationship. Now, he also gave us right standing. Actually, that's all righteousness means. Actually, righteousness, the real understanding of righteousness, is right standing. This gives us a right standing with God. Because of what he did on the cross, and because we are the righteousness of God in Christ, we have rights and privileges in the kingdom. Now, you see, because you live in the state of Oklahoma, and how many of you have one of these in your possession? That's Oklahoma driver's license. Because of that, you have the right and the privilege to operate a motor vehicle on the highways and the roads and the cities of Oklahoma. Because of this. Now, because other states have become reciprocal, this also gives us the right and the privilege to drive in the state of Texas, to drive in Arizona, New Mexico, Arkansas, all the other states, because of this. Now, how many of you have had to go and apply and you have a passport? Now, that passport gives you the right and the privilege to travel out of this country and come back into this country. Don't leave this country without a passport because you ain't getting back in. That's the truth. You have no way to prove that you belong. You see, because of our righteousness in Christ, we can prove that we belong to the family of God. Therefore, the rights and privileges that are afforded to us according to the Word of God belong to us. Because of that passport, I can go anywhere in the world that there is an embassy that says U.S. Embassy that's flying those stars and stripes, and I can show them that, and then I have a right to demand my rights and privileges. How many of you belong to a family? Now, that's a dumb question because you all do. Because you belong to that family, there may be rights and privileges that belong to you. But not only to you, if you have siblings, they belong to them too. I have a sister. Because we're in the Hagen family, we have rights and privileges. I have 5 grandsons, and they, you know, two of them are Hagen Burns, but the other 3 got Hagen. All 5 of them think that because it's Poppy's, they have a right to it. Any other grandfathers in here have grandsons that are the same way? I mean, those older ones think that they can come and get a tool or whatever. My son, he thinks because it's mine, it's his. And probably it is. But you see, we are the sons of God, so we can go through our righteousness in Christ, we can go into the throne room of God. We have that right and that privilege. It's ours. And you know, when Dad was alive, my office is down here, and then you go down the hall, and his office is over there. Now, I would go down to his office, and even though he had an assistant, or we used to call them secretaries, now they're assistants. I don't know how they got to be from secretaries to assistants because they still do the same job. But you know what? I didn't bother to stop and ask his secretary if I could go down the hall to his office. I'd go in her outer office and then down the hall. I didn't bother. I just walked in. Hey, how you doing, Joyce or Cheryl, whoever it was? And I walked right on by, walked down the hall, and walked into his office. Why? Because I had that right. Because I was in the family. You have the right and the privilege because you are the righteous of God in Christ to go into the throne room. You know, I told you about my daughter, Denise. She was, I told you this last time, you know, she was come flying down the hall and she was running down the hall and somebody stopped her and said, little girl, you can't be running down the hall. And she wheeled around. She's about 6. Maybe 5 or not more than 6, or somewhere between 5 and 6. She wheeled around at them and says, "Do you know who I am?" And took off running back down the hall and ran right into her papa's office and ran right through the secretary and right into her papa. Why? Because she had that right and the privilege. What I'm trying to show to you is that we have rights and privileges because of who we are in Christ. Now, it's up to us to take advantage of them. Many of you that work and have worked, because of you work for a certain company, you have certain rights and privileges, discounts and all kinds of stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you what. The boss is not going to come down and grab your arm and twist it up behind you and say, "Now, you got to start taking advantage of this discount and this privilege." No, it's up to you to do it. You're the one that has to do it. How many of you that have worked at a job have ever had the boss come and twist your arm and say, "Now you got to take vacation because you got vacation time coming, so you got to take it"? No, if it's the way it is around our place and where I used to work, you got to go to the personnel. Now they call it HR, but it was personnel department when I was working. How many of you remember when it was the personnel department? Now it's the human resource department. I don't know how it got to be that, but that's what they call it anyway. Anyway, you have to go in there and say, "Listen, I am eligible for X number of weeks or days of vacation, and I want to take them between this date and this date. Is that not right? You have to tell them. You know, I got, you know, when you're in the Army, you build up leave time. I never took any, and they never came and asked me about it. And I knew when I got out, I had 90 days of leave time made up. Saved up. So they had to pay me when I got out of the Army, they had to pay me for 90 days leave time. But they wasn't going to make, if I want to take leave, I got to go, it's a right, it's a privilege that belonged to me, but if I'm going to get it, I've got to do something about it. The rights and privileges that belong to us in the Word of God, you got to find out what they are, and then you're the one that has to take advantage of it. I mean, you know, now, I don't know how it is with you, but we have over at the ministry there, we have a human resource manual, you know. Employee manual. Now, that employee manual tells you all what your rights and your privileges are and so forth and so on. I'm not going to go down there and force you to read it. If you want to find out what your rights and privileges are, you do it yourself. That's what I give it to you for. Hey, that's what God gave us the Word of God for. We're to read it and find out for ourselves what our rights and privileges are. The reason many people are not involved with their rights and privileges because they've never taken the time to find out what they are. E.W. Kenyon said this, "We died once in Christ, now we live with him, we reign with him, his perfect righteousness is ours, all he is and did is ours." And Paul said it this way there in Acts, he said, "In him we move and live and have our being." Now, you know, we must understand our position in Christ. The moment we receive Christ as Savior, we receive the righteousness of God. We are now as righteous as you're ever going to be. You see, you don't get any more righteous. You're either righteous or you're unrighteous. You're either a citizen of the U.S. or you're not a citizen. You know, it's one or the other. You see, it's a gift that we didn't earn. You see, Philippians 3:9. I'm going to read this from the NLT. "And became one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on our faith." Our faith. We believe God. We freely come to God and ask for forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and we get right standing. Jesus' victory at the cross over sin, Satan, and evil became our victory. Because of that, we can walk in victory. We can walk in authority. We can walk in righteousness. You see, along with the righteousness, these rights and privileges, there's healing, there's access to Father God, there's peace, there's right standing with God, there's victory, there's authority. Now we can reign in life as kings. It's what the Bible says. You see, Dad said in the Believer's Authority on page 39, any of you ever read the Believer's Authority? On page 39, he says, "God's plan for us is that we rule and reign in life as kings, to rule and reign over circumstances, poverty, disease, everything else that would hinder us. We reign by Jesus Christ." In Christ, we have all of these rights and all of these privileges, and we have to learn to live in these. It's one thing to know that we're righteous. It's another thing to walk and live in our righteousness. It's one thing to know that you have money in the bank. It's another thing to use it. Did you know you could have $1 million in the bank and starve to death if you never use it? I remember a story that I think it was in the Life magazine years and years ago, way back in the 50s, I believe it was, early 50s. There was a story about a man that lived, he peddled papers and stuff on the street corner and started just, you know, would buy, sell whatever he could and lived in a little old junky room. And so they hadn't seen him around for a few days. And so they went into the room and there was all kinds of stuff in there. Sort of like one of these hoarders, I guess, that you see on TV. But anyway, and there was just a tray up to the bed, and there he was. He had died in his sleep. So they checked it out and found that he died of malnutrition, starvation. He starved to death. Well, they started going through all of these boxes of stuff. And in the 50s, they found something like $25,000. Now, in the early 50s, $25,000 was a bunch of money. Anybody in here old enough to remember that? I know in 1955, you could buy a brand new 1955 Chevrolet half-ton pickup for $1,500. That's the truth. Right at it, Now, he not only could have bought the best steak in Chicago, and that's where it would happen, he could have probably bought the restaurant for that amount of money back in that day. You couldn't do it today, but back in the day. He had it, but he didn't use it, so therefore it did him no good. We can know about righteousness of God in Christ. We can know that we have rights and privileges. He knew that money would work for him, but he didn't do it. He didn't use it. You have to realize, see, it's one thing to know you're the righteousness of God in Christ. It's another thing to walk in it. Come on, anybody get anything out of this? Now, I want to give you, is it already that time? Okay, I want to give you about four things here to help you to walk in your reality of being in Christ, okay? Find scripture that show the truth about being the righteousness of God in Christ. And then, secondly, daily renew your mind on them. You remember the word of God says renewing your mind? You know. And then, three, meditate on those. Think about them until you understand them, and then make the confession every day. In fact, one of the things you can do every day is to get up in the morning. The first thing you do is say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I have everything that the Bible says belongs to me. I mean, you're going to have to do it. Nobody's going to do it for you. You do it for yourself. Hello? Now, when you begin to do this, it puts you in a position to walk into all of the blessings and benefits that God has for you. Dad said in his book, that little book in him, anybody ever read that little book in him? He said on page 4, he said, the majority of Christians, though sincere, are weak. This is because they never really dared confess what God's word says about them. They've never dared confess that they are what the Bible says they are, that they are who the Bible says they are, and that they have what the Bible says they have. So if we begin to confess who we are in Christ, it empowers us and puts us in a position to receive everything that belongs to us according to the Word of God. Now, I want you to, everybody to stand up, please. I want you to confess this with me right now. Christ died for me. He took my sins. He gave me his righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I can now freely come to God and ask him for whatever I need. And when I ask, it's just as if Jesus was asking for it. Because I am the righteousness of in Christ. God hears me and answers my prayer. I am what the Bible says I am. I have what the Bible says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Our position is in him. And as long as we maintain that, we can do exactly what I just said. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I never like to have a service, even though I know that most people are. But if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus is your personal Savior, or you know what it is to know Christ, but you know you're not walking the way you should, and you just need to rededicate yourself, or you just go to church and you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, I want to pray with you and for you. Just let me see your hand. Anybody, anywhere. Praise the Lord. Well, does anybody want to be filled with the Spirit tonight? Anybody need prayer for healing? If so, step out and come down here. We'll pray for you right now. Well, praise the Lord. No hands on any of those situations. Amen and amen. Hey, don't forget what I talked about tonight. Make it a part of your daily life to confess who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do because of Christ. All right? Did y'all get anything out of that, really? I mean, you were awful quiet, but I figured that's because you were listening really good. All right? Okay, praise God. Is there anything else? Oh, is there still a bunch of food out there? Hey, there's still a bunch of food out there. Just go out there and get some of it and fellowship and talk to one another. I'm going to go back here to one door. She's going to go to the other door. We'll shake your hand as you go out. God bless you. Hey, next Sunday night, 6 o'clock right here. Bring your friends and neighbors and all of the in-laws and outlaws. Bless you.